1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God. 30.
No.
Way. Touchdown. Are you kidding me? It's a Minneapolis miracle.
All right, we're coming back on in for another edition of the Scolders Podcast. I'm your host, Ed Brown. Markle joined with me, as always, Mike Anderson. Mike, how are we doing tonight?
Doing well.
Heard you did some good bowling deeds this evening.
Yeah, tonight was a good night, no doubt.
Nice little, would you say, 750 here?
Yeah, 751, so.
Not too shabby. But this is not the bowling podcast. That's a whole nother show.
I could do a bowling podcast.
You know, yeah, I wouldn't doubt that, my friend. I would not doubt that. Another podcast, Mike.
Right.
Today we're here to talk about some Vikings. We missed Arizona and our New York Jets because we were off all around. You were gallivanting down the Vegas Strip, you know, betting your heart away, hopefully coming back a richer man for it. I did indeed.
Courtesy of the Minnesota Vikings, part of that.
Nice. So yeah, Vikings came away with two wins here, one against Arizona, one against New York Jets. Now, yours truly and yourself were actually at the Arizona game. So Mike, why don't you walk me through that experience? How was that being there in some sweet seats?
It was awesome. So first and foremost, it was my first regular season game at US Bank Stadium, so I felt like I got the full experience. But then on top of that, obviously, you had gotten us some sweet tickets, and I mean, it's unreal. I mean, I don't even know how to, I mean speechless for how to recommend getting those tickets. It's
you had the wings, you had the burgers, the brats, the nacho bar.
I mean, you can get there early. You can stay after the game. They've got, you know, beers and liquors and anything that you can ever imagine. And they got high end stuff if you want. I think it's like you're treated like a king, if you will. So it was awesome. They had a candy bar. They had a donut bar. I mean, we were right next to the Wilfs. So, I mean, yeah, if you get a chance, I would highly, highly encourage you to check those out.
Yeah, it was a pretty good experience, and not a bad view of the field either. As you said there, you know, just some sweet tickets. I had the good fortune of winning those. I've won those a couple times this year. Won't tell the viewers how, because I don't want more people getting in that pool. You know, I got to try to get the season tickets to that just by winning them. But yeah, it was a great experience, like you said. Happy to share it with you, my good friend here. But yeah, so Arizona, at least talking about the game here. So now, Mike, we were up 10-3, and you go ahead and you say, you know, we're just a pick six away from this being tied. And I think it was either the next play or the play after the next play was the defensive touchdown fumble recovery.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need you to go ahead and never say crap like that again. Ever. All right. Use your powers for good here, okay?
I think we've all been there, but sometimes you just get that, I don't know, you get that feeling where it was kind of that slow game, and it just felt like, you know, you should be winning by more or whatever, however you want to think of it, and it's just like, holy crap, you look at the scoreboard, and it's a close game, and then all of a sudden it wasn't, I guess it was closer, but man, that put a little scare in us, but they rallied, you know, ended up winning by, I think, what, 10 points or something like that?
27-17, so defense only really gave up 10 points, so I mean, you can't really argue with that kind of a performance. Obviously, you wish you didn't have that kind of a strip sack type deal. I believe it was a strip sack, wasn't it? or something. I forget exactly the details of it, but you obviously don't want to see that, but, you know, flukes like that will happen.
Right.
Fortunately, over the last couple of weeks, the Vikings have been on the plus side of those the last few weeks here, so hopefully we can continue that. But, yeah, so Arizona, nice little win, nice little recovery for the defense. Kind of got back to basics, back to where we should be. So, yeah, that's kind of all the notes I had on that, just to recap that quickly. Moving on to the Jets, kind of the same thing. Defense continued that kind of bounce back, had a very strong game. Offense was kind of slow to start. Do you read into that at all, or is that just kind of Jets has got a good defense and they were taking some stuff away?
The Jets got some pieces there. I think Adams is obviously a very, very talented player in their secondary. It's a road game against a team that really was playing at a high level. Especially for them, I think they were a team that a lot of people expected to come out and be one of the worst teams in the league this year, maybe. They're chugging along. You know, they're playing some good football. I think there's some confidence there. Obviously, when you have a rookie quarterback in Sam Darnold, there's going to be some growing pains along the way. And they're missing some guys. I don't think Quincy Enunwa was playing against us. At least I don't believe.
Yeah, no, he wasn't. I think he was out. I think they had another wide receiver out as well.
Yeah, so they were kind of banged up. You know, it's a road game, whatever. It's New York. I don't know. Well, it's not. Yeah, whatever. I don't look too much into it. Like I told you, we got it going a little bit, especially in the fourth. Sure. We got a lot of different people involved. I think that was a very positive thing. I actually think, and we'll get to it here in a little bit, but I think that's going to be keys. That's going to be a big key in the Saints game, is going to be continue to really utilize a lot of different people, because these defenses now are really going to start to key in on Thielen, and not saying they haven't, but I think you saw the Jets maybe try to take away Thielen and Diggs a little bit more than we have seen previously this year, and that kind of led to Cousins maybe moving the ball around a little bit more than we had seen in the past, and there were some guys that made some nice plays. You saw Zylstra get his first catch. Murray with a couple catches out of the backfield. Treadwell again with another three. And obviously Diggs and Thielen got theirs. But, the ability to have Cousins find some of these other weapons and have the trust in them, I think that's going to be something that's going to be key, especially on Sunday night with, Lattimore being obviously a defensive back that has the ability to take away receiver. Now, obviously, Thielen is playing at the highest level probably of any receiver in the NFL in some time. So it'll be interesting to see what they do and what kind of looks they give. You know, are they going to try to take away Diggs and, you know, leave Thielen? Are they going to – I'm not really sure what they're going to do, but,
Yeah, to me, that kind of reads as like a damned if you do situation where, I mean, you take away the Diggs deep route stuff by bringing safety over to help him, but then you leave all the crossing routes for Thielen just to tear you up on. Or you take away Thielen and give him help, but then you're opening up Diggs for those deep stretches.
So yep.
It's kind of like you get to pick your poison, and do you want to be beaten by 1,000 cuts or a couple deep stabs?
Yeah. And I think Zimmer today, I heard him say that the Saints apparently have like the top rush defense right now. Not sure what metrics that is utilizing. You know, I would assume probably yards per game. But at the same time, they're towards the bottom tier, like bottom four or five teams, and giving up big plays.
Sure.
So they have a tendency to sell out for that run, but if you can't get home. Occasionally you've got the ability to find guys open over the middle, especially on one-on-one coverage if they can get beat. And obviously we've seen, with Thielen and Diggs being two of the best route runners in the NFL, and I think that's apparent now. I mean, it's hard to even argue that at this point anymore.
Right.
Maybe coming into the year you have, non-Vikings fans that could make that statement, but I think at this point, the separation that they're getting on some of these people, it's unreal. So, You know, oh, I don't know. Well, yeah, but I'm really curious, you know, especially with Dalvin presumably out, spoiler alert, you know, if you're listening, with Dalvin presumably out and Latavius been going good, you know, especially the last couple games, he's been running well. You know, are you going to have them try to sell out against that run as much, or are they going to try to, you know, stop that passing game a little bit more? Because obviously Thielen and Diggs both have been pretty successful this year.
Right, and as we kind of bled here, we're kind of into the Saints already, so wrap up the Jets. Solid win again.
Good road win. Yeah. Good road win. You know.
You can't discount those road games. Sometimes those can be very tough, depending upon where you're going. Obviously, wasn't the cleanest game until the end there when we had defense getting us some decent help. But you know what? Sometimes you got to get those gritty wins and then let your defense just take it over.
Yep.
But yeah, so Saints here, you mentioned Dalvin Cook. Just go over a couple of the other injuries that might play factor. Rhodes went down, I think, third quarter-ish in the Jets game, something like that.
Third or fourth, yeah.
Third, somewhere in there, and Barr was also after that. Sendejo also didn't practice. So a couple key guys on the defense that might impact how we deal with Michael Thomas and company with the Saints. Now, Zimmer said that he thinks there's a pretty good chance Rosen Barr play Sunday night, so I don't know if that means that their injuries are pretty minor and they just held them out today just for an extra healing day. I'm not sure. So I don't know how much we read into that until we get more days of injury report, but if Rhodes can't go, you saw Holton Hill come in there, first play in after Rhodes goes down, and gets a pick.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, it's like, yeah, the quality of receivers he's up against in the Jets game is obviously get worse than what the Saints have. So, what do we do to kind of mask that if Rhodes indeed can't go?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, let's hope that they're able to play. I don't know that there is an answer necessarily for Michael Thomas, an outright, oh, well, you just do this and you're going to take him away. Michael Thomas has emerged as, you know, one of the top probably five receivers in the game, if not even higher on that list, you know, sure, with his play. So he's a big physical receiver, and, you know, I'm not really sure what the best course of action is. Obviously, I think trying to disrupt Breeze, make him get that ball out quickly is going to be huge. I think coming down to that front four of ours is going to be a really big component of that. Getting those hands up, trying to tip some of those passes. Breeze being a shorter quarterback, he's obviously had a hell of a career, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So you know, he has the ability to overcome maybe the height disadvantage, but we got some big guys up there. We've got some athletic guys like Daniil. You know, let's get those hands up, and I think they're probably going to be working on that this week in practice, and making sure that, you know, they're trying to disrupt Breeze as much as possible, especially if you're missing some of those key components on the defensive side of the ball for the Vikings.
Sure. So you alluded to their defensive line. We get a couple pieces back this week. Linville Joseph was practicing today in limited fashion. I think they expected him to be able to play. Also, big news, Everson Griffin returned to practice again. So,
okay. Yep.
What does that do to this defense, having essentially the heart and soul of this defense back in the locker room? Even if he doesn't even play a snap, is that as big of an emotional lift as I think it's going to be for this defense?
I think it is. I think that, I mean, look, at the end of the day, this is the Minneapolis Miracle rematch. It's a primetime football game. Both teams are now playing well. Saints have won five in a row. Vikings are, three or whatever it is. You know, they're starting to play some good football. These are teams that are expected to be there at the end. So you're already going to have this, you know, really most likely high level of confidence, excitement. But I think, right, Everson is the definition of that for this team. And he's he's an explosive player. He's an explosive personality. So I think that, yeah, him being there, practicing with these guys this week and, you know, just getting that back together, I think it'll be a huge lift. And I think that we're starting to see this team come together. You know, yeah, the Rams are off to a great start. They were incredible. They're playing hot. They're 7-0. But sometimes these things take time to really, you know, mesh together. And we've seen before, we started 5-0. It didn't work out that well for us. You know, last year, 2-2, you finished 13-3. So sometimes these teams can just take a little bit of time to really fully mesh, mold in those new pieces, whether it be coordinators, you know, a few new players. And I think we're really starting to see that. But back to your original question, yes, I think Everson coming back is a huge deal. I think that that Buffalo loss, there might have been even more than we think with Everson not being there. That might have impacted the game a lot more than we think.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you try to say, well, these guys are professionals. They're supposed to play. But you know what? They're still human, right? So you can't discount the fact that if you're in there every day in and day out with a guy, and all of a sudden he's not there, you're going to be worried about him. And it's only human nature to have that affect you. So I'm right there with you. I wouldn't be surprised if that was a factor in that. But you know what? I'm glad to see the guy out in the practice field again. I'm glad he's getting himself healthy where he needs to be. And you know what? Even if he doesn't play down, man, happy to have him on the field.
Yep. No, I would agree. I would expect him to play.
Maybe not start, but at least get in there rotationally to kind of ease him back in, maybe.
Yeah, you know, I guess, and maybe maybe I'm off on this, and you can tell me I'm crazy, but, you know, I heard local radio today talking about how they didn't know if he's going to play, and, you know, maybe if he did, it would be limited, whatever. I mean, the guy didn't get physically injured. You know, he was playing at a high level of football a few weeks ago. So sure, if he's back and practicing with this team, it's not like he's learning a new playbook or recovering from a knee injury, etc. I see no reason why one of your best defensive players, if he's back with the team, I don't see a reason why he's not going to be playing, I guess. So me personally, I would say, yeah, he's going to be out there. He's going to be starting, and they're going to roll with it. You know, I don't know, and I could be wrong, but I don't really see the logic in not, if he's back and ready to roll, you know, get him out there.
Yeah, the only way I could see him not is if it's part of their program where they're going to ease him back into this kind of situation, more controlled. Like, I mean, I don't disagree that he's not physically ready. Like, he should be physically ready. He should be ready to go. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's not related to football that could be going on that they might be cautious of. So that's the only tentative I would say is, like, there might be something where it's not in the plan right now to get him on the field 100% of the time starting and playing.
Sure. And I mean, to me, when I think of that possibility, my mind goes to, don't play him at all. I mean, you're either ready to play football or he's just not ready yet. And that's kind of, I understand that thought process, but I think he's going to be ready. He's going to be itching to get out there and we'll see, you know, but I wouldn't be shocked if he has a really big impact on that game Sunday night.
That would make my day definitely with that. Another guy that was practicing today, Riley Reiff. I don't know what they're going to do with the offensive line, honestly.
Yeah.
Hill was not the best left tackle in replace of Reiff, but Brian O'Neill showed out pretty damn well at right tackle. My guess is because they lean more conservatively, they're going to go back to Reiff at left tackle, Hill at right tackle. That's not my preference at this point. I think Brian O'Neill has shown enough that should be his starting job right now. Keep him in there and just let him show out. But maybe they want a more experienced guy going up against this New Orleans defensive front. I don't know what your read is on that.
Your guess is good of mine. I know Zimmer this week talked about O'Neal and said he loves the way he's been playing. Said there's a little bit of nasty in him. He's been seeing it at practice. He's been seeing it in games. You know, this is a guy that's got to practice against some pretty damn good defensive line. fronts in practice. So as much as, yeah, the Saints have some talent there, keep in mind they get to practice against the best as well. So I kind of would tend to lean with you. I think with the way that O'Neal's going, I'd go that route right now. But at the end of the day, I guess you gotta have faith, you know, the hashtag faith.
Yep.
And we'll see how things come out. Obviously, we've got a little bit of flexibility there, if you will. I know that's a word that Vikings fans don't like to utilize with the offensive line. But unfortunately, due to being short suited, if you will, at times, you know, they've had to try a few different things out, and now, you know, you've got a few options. So,
well, we haven't got to the point where we're rolling out a tight end as a tackle yet. So, I think we're doing fairly good right now. Yeah, so I guess we're just gonna have to play that by ear and see how that goes. Because at the Minneapolis Miracle game, we got destroyed by their D line, and I think that was one of the big parts of why that game got out of hand so quickly. Is they just dug in that second half and kind of disrupted what we were trying to do. So my game plan going into this is to stop that as much as possible. Try to get that run game established and control the tempo of the game. So I don't know if that's forcing the run, if that's passing to set up the run. I don't know how you do that, how you attack that New Orleans defense like that.
I think that they're going to come in. I'm telling you, I think they might come in with a plan to do very much what they did in the Jets, especially that fourth quarter, and kind of take almost like a take what's given to you kind of situation. Really study the pre-snap, you know, matchups, and just kind of methodically try to slowly move downfield. And if they see a chance to take a shot, you take the shot. I do think with it being the Saints and with it being a home game, I would assume we might see a few things we haven't seen. I'm not saying we're going to break out everything from the bag of tricks, but I would assume that you might see a shot to Diggs downfield, and you know, a few things downfield to set up some stuff underneath. Wouldn't be shocked if Rudolph has a big game. You know, he's been relatively consistent all year here, but we haven't really seen him with that, you know,
10
catches
game, yeah.
for, yeah. And maybe that's this game. I'm not really sure, but I think with a defense like that, especially with as good as they are against the run and with Lattimore not necessarily knowing how they're going to try to utilize him with Diggs and Thielen both being extreme weapons, I think they're probably going to prep for a few different game plans and just kind of see what's presented to them early on and kind of roll with it.
Sure. And it's like what D Flip has said, you know, if they're a top run defense, we're not going to just run for the sake of running, you know, we're going to take what's given to us. And if the passing lanes are open, why not just throw it another 40, 50 times?
Yep. Yep.
If that's how you move the ball, does it really matter at the end of the day?
No, I agree. I think it's going to be, you know, it's not like one of these teams where they're not great in a certain area and you know you can exploit it. I think this is going to be a little bit more matchup based and kind of see what is presented, you know? So.
Sure. One stat I wanted to bring up here.
Okay.
Breeze does not yet have an interception this year.
He doesn't. His last pick was against us, I believe.
So, is he going to get one?
I think he will. Yeah, I think I truly believe that we're going to actually get a couple of those tip balls. I think he will throw a pick. Now, I'm not going to necessarily go as far as say it's going to be two or three or whatever, but I know Kamara had a couple fumbles last week down in the red zone on almost back-to-back plays. So this is a team, you know, where with that crowd at home in this primetime game, I think Breeze is going to throw one, and let's hope we can generate another one, you know?
Yeah, you get a couple TLs on our side, and don't get coughed up on offensive side of the ball. I think we should have a solid recipe for winning that there. Keys of the game, I kind of marked out a few here. We kind of touched on it a little bit, but we got to get pressure on Breeze. Breeze is one of those quarterbacks that can get the ball out in half a second if he needs to. So you got to get home. You got Richardson, you got Linval coming back, you got Hunter, possibly Everson. I don't know. So you have here, hands up, Breeze is only 5'9", so get some batted balls, maybe get a bounce going your way.
Yeah, I mean, a big thing for me is going to be, how do you stop Kamara and Ingram? You know, Kamara worries me a lot. He is one of the most difficult players, I think, to cover right now in the NFL. He's dynamic. He's fast. He's able to catch the ball really well. He's unreal when he gets the ball, especially in open space. He's great at finding seams through, you know, if they just hand it off in a straight set, he's a hell of a runner from that situation as well. So they're going to try to get him the ball, and then you've got Mark Ingram, who normally it's like, oh, the second running back, you know, it's not nearly as good. No, he's been a damn good player there as well. So when you take those two guys, and then you combine it with Drew Brees and a Michael Thomas type weapon, you know, I have a lot of concerns around that short game and the flats, and I don't know. I think that's the biggest thing for me is how are we going to handle those two running backs and how are we going to slow them down? You know.
Hopefully they don't end up creating like the Rams did, a bunch of mismatches on Barr and Kendricks with those guys. Because I think if they can force us into packages like that, they're going to have a field day. If we can keep them into packages where we have Jayron Kearse, we have George Loka in there covering those guys, I think we'll be reasonably okay.
Right.
I mean, they're obviously going to get theirs. So they're too talented of players to be completely shut down with how they're utilized. But you just got to slow them down, and you got to get them in those third down situations where the Vikings thrive. So we just kind of lightly touched on this, but I put on the disrupt the wide receivers at the line. Get that timing off. If we have faith in our D-line to get there quick, if you can disrupt those quick timing routes off the line, I think that could be a big key to this. I haven't seen us do that a whole lot this season. So I don't know exactly the percentage of chance that's actually going to happen, but that would be one of my keys in this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rhodes matchup against Michael Thomas was something that I looked forward to. I think Rhodes tends to do well against bigger receivers. And so, as much as you worry a little bit about Thomas, a healthy Rhodes kind of took that away for me. It's kind of, you know, the focus then is Kamara. How do you slow them down? Let's get to Breeze, et cetera, and hope that Rhodes can do his thing. But now, you know, whether he doesn't play or does and isn't to you know, a full 100%, and maybe he is. I mean, it didn't look that bad, I didn't think. Again, I was at a Vegas sportsbook watching on a, you know, Jumbotron screen, but it didn't, I don't know, it just didn't look that bad. I was surprised when they were bringing him off and he initially couldn't put any weight on it. You know, then he did put a little bit on there. So I don't know what to expect on that, but I think, yeah, if you can, you know, I don't know what the plan will be for Thomas specifically if Rhodes can't go, but you gotta try to disrupt that timing somehow, because, you know, Breeze being, like we said, a little bit shorter, they're going to rely a lot on the timing, and that goes for the other receivers on the Saints as well. Breeze is damn good at throwing the ball right where those receivers are supposed to be. Obviously, we know that with no interceptions this year. So,
and I mean, the last couple of weeks we faced rookie quarterbacks where some of these zone reads we could disguise. That is not going to work on Drew Breeze. He's seen every single one of those 1,000 times. So we're not going to be able to trick him into it. So we're going to have extremely sound play, and get a couple of lucky bounces our way to kind of disrupt them in the passing game.
Yep.
We mentioned this a little bit earlier, get the running backs going. I think we got to get production on these guys. I think if we lose this game, it's going to be because we're not controlling the clock enough and we're giving Drew Brees too much time.
Yeah, I mean, running game's important, right? The last two games, we've seen Latavius, you know, kind of get her going again, and I think that that's led to us being successful. You're up against one of the best rush defenses in the NFL right now. So Like DeFilippo said, you're not going to run just to run. But at the same time, I would agree with you where I think that, you know, we can't go into one of these situations like Green Bay where we only end up having whatever it was, 6 carries, and I think 2 of them were Cousins or whatever.
Right. It's one of those where I think the term successful running game is altered from any other normal game. Successful meaning we just got to be able to eat clock when we can and get successful rushes on 3rd and short and 2nd and short.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think this team can win a shootout now, which is kind of weird to say, but we saw it a little bit with Green Bay, you know, a game that we probably should have won if Carlson makes a kick. So to me, it's more, I think a big key for this game to me is which defense is going to adapt better in the second half.
Right.
You know, and who's going to make the better adjustments and slow down that offense a little bit more. I think both teams are going to be coming out high flying. There's going to be points put up. You know, I don't know that this is, we've held the last two teams here. I think it's 17-17. I don't think we're holding the Saints to 17. I would love if that's the case, but you know, I think that there's going to take upper 20s, 30 some points to win this football game.
Okay. Next key I have is red zone production.
Okay.
Now, DeFilippo was brought in here, and he was supposedly this red zone guru, but the touchdown rate from outside the red zone versus inside the red zone, actually I think it's outside the 10 to inside the 10, is like it's double when you're farther away. So I don't know the reason for that, but it's one of those things where we can't be settling for field goals once we get it inside the 10-yard line. That's one of the most frustrating things for me, is that you're that close, you gotta find a way to punch that in. And I don't know if that's necessarily tied to the running game kind of struggling, you know, beginning part of the year or what, but field goals are not going to cut it in this game.
No, and part of my frustration is in that, and I know right where you're talking about, is, to me, why aren't you looking to a big target like Kyle Rudolph in that situation? Somebody that has the ability to kind of go up and create his own space and can elevate. You know, let's get him, try to get him on that back edge of the end zone. And obviously, you got to have some time for him to get there.
Right.
But I don't know. It's been a little frustrating. It seems like we've been trying to find those quick slants or, you know, things along those lines, whereas we've got some of these. We got some guys that have a little bit of height and can go get a football. To me, maybe that's the answer, you know, in those situations, and maybe that'll help turn things around. We start putting some more touchdowns on the board.
Yeah, it'd be certainly nice to get maybe a couple game or a couple TD game out of Rudolph, because he's capable of doing that. That's what he's done his entire career.
Right.
Rudolph, the red zone tight end, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm right there with you. It's that, and then if you can continue to get Tatrain open in those situations, which honestly I think the O line is kind of gotten into a little bit better of a groove on you know, run blocking. So hopefully we can continue that even against a top rated rush defense, just to get a couple, just to get that one sneaky hole where Latavius can burst out for 15 or 20, just to keep him honest with that, you know. You know the saying, you become one-dimensional, you become a lot easier to defeat, so.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Let's see, continue to roll in defense. Kind of touch on this throughout, but had a couple nice games here, so we kind of need to continue that. We finally look right, honestly, after the slide that happened early or late in the second quarter against the Saints in the divisional game. I don't know. Anything to add on the defense here?
No. I mean, you got to stay disciplined. You know, Breeze is very much like Rodgers, where if we get confused and one of these younger guys makes a mistake, you're going to pay for it, and you're going to pay for it via a long touchdown. So they have the weapons, and Breeze rarely misses. So you have to make sure you're staying disciplined, be in your spot, especially in the secondary.
Absolutely. Yeah, we saw a lot of that in the divisional game. One thing to mention here, I don't know if this is going to continue to hold, but we've only given up two of 23 third down attempts in the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
I don't think that we can hold that ratio, because that's historically low. But as long as we can keep it under 30%, I think you walk away, you're very happy with that.
Yeah.
With the weapons they have that they can pick up that kind of intermediate and short yardage, you got to be ecstatic with that if you can walk away with that.
Well, and I mean, that was kind of our deal last year, an elite third down defense, and it's nice for them now to kind of find that again. I know that was a frustration early on. We gave up some third and eights, third and tens, third and twelves. So I think if they can continue to do this at a high level, now I think you're right, you're not going to sustain a 10% or whatever it is, but let's try to get to that 25-30% mark, and if you do that, I agree with you. You're going to be successful.
Absolutely. Anything else before we get into our predictions and a kicker watch update on the Saints game?
No, I think I'm good. I'm ready for Sunday night. We get to watch the Rams-Packer game right before that. It's a 3:00, 3:25 game. I'm curious how Packers are going to look coming off a bye. So, I mean, that'll be fun. And then we roll right into the rematch, man. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Should be a very fun weekend of football, a very fun game for the Vikings. Win or lose, this game is going to be great. So before we get into our predictions here, we got a special edition Kicker Watch update. Daniel Carlson was signed to the Oakland Raiders.
Yep.
He's back.
He's back.
He's back to miss more field goal kicks.
Yep. I think it's a great fit for him. You know, Oakland, obviously a team that's gotten rid of a few pieces here. They traded Amari Cooper as well.
They got a first one, which I think is robbery, honestly. But
you know, they're trying to go, and they got a rebuild plan. They've got a little bit of a longer rebuild plan there. And now you bring Carlson into a situation where the expectations are lower, so he shouldn't feel that much pressure. He can go out, try to find his game a little bit, get a little bit of confidence. I still think, I mean, with the leg that he's got, you know, I still think if he can get a year under his belt and just build a little bit of confidence in a routine, I still think the kid can be a successful kicker in this league. So good luck to him, you know.
Yeah, definitely don't wish bad on anyone, but don't kick for my team anymore, because I can't take that risk anymore. We're happy with Bailey. Let's get into predictions here. So, first off, we'll start with the Saints at the Vikings game. Who you got, Mike? You changing your mind from our pre-show conversation?
I am not going to change my mind for the pre-show conversation.
Judas over here.
I just think the Saints are playing at a higher level right now. I think they're clicking, you know, everywhere consistently week to week. They've won 5 in a row. They've got confidence. They want revenge from last year's miracle game. Kamara came out and said, you know, we should have blown him out. I don't believe that, but I certainly think right now I just got a little bit more confidence in them. So I think the Vikings will keep this game close. I actually think the Vikings will probably have a chance to go down and win the football game at the end of it. But ultimately,
Kirk fails.
I don't know who fails. I don't know if it's another tipped interception or what. But I'm going 27-23 Saints.
Judas over here, Judas. You betray us, Mike.
They can't win them all.
You can't win them all, but we've already lost enough this year.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, Mike. I'm going the opposite direction here. You know, I think the Saints defense right now with their secondary in as poor shape as it is, and with the weapons we have at home, I don't think Kirk Cousins misses that often. Even if you try to take away Adam Thielen, you're not going to. I mean, teams have tried that the last 7 weeks. They haven't been able to. So, you want to know what? Give me that matchup all day long. I'll take our wide receivers and Kirk Cousins against our secondary all day long. So, I think this is going to be out of control quick for the Saints. I think we get a couple lucky turnovers that kind of stifle what the Saints are trying to do offensively, kind of get them on the reeling side of things. I think they get a garbage touchdown late, so I think this game is handily in our control the entire way. And you know what? I think they walk out of this, and they're going to be reeling for a while, because this is going to set them back, you know, far enough in their own division that it could matter a lot. So 27-17 Vikes. Because I'm not a Judas, you know. I actually like my team, Mike.
I like the confidence.
All right, then we got the Green Bay game. So Green Bay at Rams. What do you got on that one, Mike?
You can't pick against the Rams right now, especially at home. If I was still in Vegas, I'd be taking Green Bay in the points. I think it's ridiculous that Aaron Rodgers is a double-digit point underdog. And any time that would happen, I'll give him a chance to keep it close. So I think Green Bay probably keeps the game, you know, inside of 10. But ultimately, Rams are playing at such a high level right now. I think that they win the football game.
Yeah, I just look at the weapons that the Rams have. They have Gurley. They have, you know, Cooks. They got all these receivers and these receiving targets. Gurley can tear you up on the ground. They got a defense that is really starting to gel together and play some really nice ball. And I'm right there with you. I don't see how Green Bay, who I don't think arguably is a complete team yet, can keep up with that. I just think they're going to be behind most of the game. And yeah, barring some ridiculous heroics from Aaron Rodgers, I don't see it as well. So I'm taking the Rams as well on that one. Then we got your pick for the game. Philly, Jacksonville in London.
Yep.
What are you feeling here, bud?
I'm actually going to go Jacksonville.
Oh!
Jacksonville, a team that is reeling a little bit right now. They're getting disrespected quite a bit in the media,
uh-huh.
and I think fairly so. But also, this was a very good football team a short time ago. And I think that going across the pond to this neutral site, it's a fun game to get jacked up for. They're playing, you know, obviously they're the defending Super Bowl champions.
Sure.
Another team that's struggling a little bit. So I think this is a huge football game. It's probably, you could look at it as the loser of this game is, you know, I'm not going to bury him in the ground, but I mean, they're getting close at that point. So I think Jacksonville comes out, and I think that defense is good enough, and they get the job done in a close game over there. But I'm taking the Jags.
You know, all the points you made are valid. They're strong points. They're great points. However, I think Philadelphia has a lot more ability to bounce back than Jacksonville does after this type of start, and especially after the previous game here where they were up 17-0 on Carolina and ended up losing. So I don't think that happens again. I think they're too well coached. I think they have too much still talent-wise on their roster to let that kind of linger and let that continue, that slide continue. So I take Philly on this, and I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people, I think, are projecting it to be because of how far Jacksonville slid. But I think you'll see two things. I think you'll see Jacksonville have a little bit of a rebound, but I think you'll see ultimately Philly end up taking it.
All right. I mean, that's fair. Like I said, I think it's going to be a close one, so.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun game. We have some fun football games this week coming up. There's going to be, I think, a game for any time slot that's going to be one to watch. Next up, my pick for a game, we got Baltimore at Carolina. What do you got, Mike? Ooh.
Carolina keeps surprising me. They've been doing it since before the season started when I said they might have been my Super Bowl pick if they were healthy. They just continue to get less healthy for the most part. and they still win football games. So
it's that North Turner thing, man.
You know what? I'll take Carolina because I keep picking against them and they keep winning games. So I'll go with Carolina.
You see, that's how you know that they're going to lose this game, because you keep picking them against them, right?
Yeah.
So you want to know what? I'm going to take Baltimore. You know what? They lost on a Justin Tucker missed kick, which if you haven't seen that gif of him missing it, it is highly worth your time. His facial expression is just like, I cannot believe that just happened. So you know, I'm going to take Baltimore. You want to know why? Because that makes us completely divergent in our picks this week, Mike. I'm picking really? Baltimore. You're picking Carolina. I'm picking Philadelphia. You're picking Jacksonville. No, sorry, the Rams. I'm sorry.
Yeah, even you couldn't pick the Packers.
No, I can't. I can't force myself to do that. We've already done that, what, four times this year? I can't do that. But yeah, I think Baltimore is just, they got their secret sauce going again this year. I don't know what it is about them, but they're going to be a dangerous team, just kind of like the sneakily the Chargers are getting by, and they're going to be a dangerous team once you come down to the stretch here. It's going to be a fun finish to the season, I tell you what. A lot of teams that are playing some very good football, and some that might just be starting their stretch run here where they start to pick it up a little bit.
Yep. No, it's starting to get fun. You're starting to get into that grind where the teams are starting to separate.
Oddly enough, the divisions are still like only decided by one game, the majority of divisions.
Right, but I mean, some of the bottom dwellers are starting to kind of, separate out, I guess, and you're starting to kind of get an idea of, hey, the playoffs are going to consist of these teams or these teams, it's kind of starting to break out here slowly.
Right, kind of shaking off some of the lower tiers and kind of getting a bigger picture of what's actually going to happen in the next coming month here. So, should be an exciting week. Any closing thoughts to this little recap here?
No. I mean, and get ready for Sunday. It should be a fun one.
It's going to be a very fun game. Sunday night football. You know what? National stage again. Let's go. I believe the divisional game was also a Sunday night game, so pretty much exactly the same time slot. So that'll be a fun one. It'll be fun to have that exact same atmosphere going for them. If you're going to the game, get there, get loud, stay loud often when the Saints are on offense. When I was there at the divisional game, that place was rocking, so if we can replicate that, that's just one more thing in our favor.
Hell yeah.
All right, so I'm at Namok 7 on the Twitter. Mike?
Muskie_Mike.
Scolgers Podcast. We're on the Climbing the Pocket Network. Check us out. Check them out. They got some good stuff going on. ClimbingThePocket.com. It's going to wrap it up for us today. We'll be back with the recap of this game next week.
Hell yeah.
Skol Vikes.
Skol.